Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. And here are your hosts, HR and customer service expert Miss Denise, an etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Well, happy Sunday and welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is April 7th, 2013, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. This evening's topic is Interview Etiquette Part 2. So you definitely want to stay tuned and take some notes. Well, since the name of our show is What Is Etiquette Anyway, I want to answer that question. I know that our audience is made up of listeners of all ages, and of course, some listeners are joining us for the first time. Welcome to the What Is Etiquette Anyway family. Etiquette is just simply an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And I say weekly kudos to Charles I and II. Well, once again, good evening. Thank you for tuning in to What Is Etiquette Anyway. I'm Miss Donna, and I am so excited to bring back on a guest that we had on a couple of weeks ago. Due to a popular demand, we have invited him to come back and join us because we really didn't have an opportunity to address all those questions that you, the listeners, had presented to us. So once again, really excited to bring back on our interview expert, HR expert, Brian Chapman. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Hello, Donna, and good afternoon. We're doing good. How are you this afternoon?
I am doing well. Thank you so much. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you and to all of your listeners. The weather has finally become a whole lot warmer since we spoke last, and we are just happy with some visible signs of spring here. Spring brings about new beginnings, and we're just absolutely excited about that.
Absolutely, because I remember the last time we talked a couple of weeks ago, I think you guys were waiting patiently for a snowstorm. Is that correct?
That is correct. We experienced some 9 inches of snow. We went snow sledding. Schools were shut down for a day, and amazingly,
wow,
we're experiencing 70-degree weather today. Blue skies, sunshine. It's been fabulous all day today.
Mm-hmm. Wow, isn't that amazing? What a difference a couple of weeks would make. And I've been saying that here in Atlanta is the only place that I know that you can experience all four seasons within the same week, because that's exactly what happened over the past week. It was freezing. We had a lot of rain. Some parts of North Georgia actually had some snow flurry. And then today, I believe it's about 70 degrees. So it is beautiful here, too. We're just dealing with all that wonderful, lovely green pollen that makes people sick with allergies and sinuses and things of that nature. But
yeah.
Anyway, we're excited that spring really has sprung at this point. Well, of course, Brian, a couple of weeks ago when you were on, we weren't on last week, you all. And by the way, I hope everybody had a blessed Easter on last weekend. It was really beautiful.
Yes.
I know that last week you gave us, or during the last show, rather, you gave us a lot of information on job seeking. And for those persons who may have missed part one of the show, we want to just kind of give them an overview of some of the points that you specifically made. So if you could first start out by just kind of telling everyone a little bit about yourself, and then we can kind of do the overview so everybody can feel as though they are caught up and current.
Sure, absolutely, Donna. Thanks for the opportunity. Just very briefly so that we can get to your listeners as quickly as we can. I have over 13 years of various and diverse human resources experience. I've served in human resources manager, human resources specialist, and HR business partner, and an HR director capacity from both federal government and nonprofit, as well as in a Fortune 100 company. Part of my experience lends itself to having rolled out human resources functions in each of its specialties, which include training and development, recruiting, also known as sourcing, compensation, employee relations, and also benefits. I enjoy especially working in employee relations. That's where we deal with employment law, representations, negotiations, and those kinds of pieces. I have an advanced degree in corporate training, and presently that is what I do on a consultant basis. In fact, last time we spoke, I just returned from Dallas, Texas, the amazing headquarters of AT&T, rolling out consulting for 20 of their vice presidents there. But that is a little bit about my background. In the last show, we had the opportunity to cover, along with some very brilliant listeners to the show, we covered the importance of a good cover letter. We talked about the importance of having a well-written resume, and then we also discussed the importance in some cases for individuals who have been laid off work or who are seeking a career change, the importance of retooling, and that is looking at options of in terms of education, acquiring additional skill sets to perform immediate job responsibilities or projected job responsibilities, as well as the importance of volunteer work and relating that work to specific deliverables and outcomes, which may be directly related to a job that one might be seeking. And then we also had an opportunity to answer some very, very good questions related to employment law. So that is just a little bit of a recap concerning what we dealt with in the course of last week, and I am sure that your callers this week are going to be equally as brilliant.
Oh, absolutely. I'm certainly expecting that. I wanted to ask you, I have a question here that it's regarding temp agencies. This question says, I know someone who has temped for a company for the past 3 years, and they haven't mentioned a permanent position. Should she look elsewhere because she would like a permanent position? I understand that some companies use workers as temps, so they do not have to pay benefits. Please give me your feedback. This comes from Jasmine Janowski in Decatur, Georgia.
Fantastic. Hello, Jasmine, and thank you for that very, very excellent question. It's good to have somebody who's an advocate for us, individuals who we can network with, who keep us posted of job possibilities, job opportunities, and others who serve as coaches to us. And with that, you pose the question as to whether or not your friend, who has been temping for some time, if she should inquire about a permanent opportunity with the company. It certainly does not hurt. Certainly, if that is in fact the desire of your friend to become from temporary to a temp to perm, as it is called, temporary employee to a permanent employee, certainly she has nothing to lose by asking that question. So that's number one. If there is a desire on her part to become permanently affiliated with that company, and she has a very good track record, has met those key performance indicators that have been laid out for her, she is certainly very well positioned to indicate her interest in obtaining full-time employment. So that is very, very important. In addition to that, she should also communicate that same desire to the company that she's working for. That is one of the benefits of working with the temporary agencies, and that is you have the opportunity to interface with not only different companies, but also with the accountable parties and the variety of hiring managers in many cases at the companies that one may work for. So indicating that interest can go a long, long way, especially if that company is able to see the value that you bring to the company. And I'm sorry, there was a part two to the question, but to the first part, certainly she should indicate her interest. I think that the part two was It suggested do temporary companies automatically extend the opportunity for permanent employment? Not necessarily. That's all a part of the behind the scenes, or what we call working on the back end. That depends upon the contract that the company or the corporation has arranged with the temporary agency, the kind of what they call retainer fee. In the event that the company decides that they do want to hire an employee permanently, they have the option of paying that retainer fee, which is a sum of money that is agreed upon as a finder's fee for that employee. But I think that she's on the right track. If there is an interest in her part to affiliate, she should let that become known, and then the employer will take the next steps.
Okay, great, Brian. Let me ask you this for people who are listening. What is the major difference between temp agencies, and if you would, and recruitment agencies?
Very, very good question, and especially in times of an unstable employment economy, it's important to understand the distinction between a temporary agency and a recruiting agency. A temporary agency is an agency that is the employer, and they refer their employee out to various companies and job sites that have a need for the specific skill set that the employee brings. That is the purpose of a temporary agency. They are a clearinghouse or a pipeline for individuals who are able to perform specific skill sets or who are able to perform specific services for another company. On the other hand, a recruiting agency is an agency that operates much like as the old term is called, a headhunter. A recruiting agency has been contracted with by a company to do its recruiting for them. Among other things, they are responsible for interviewing the employee and also performing qualifications on the employee. Those qualifications which entail their knowledge, skills, and abilities and behaviors which directly align to the mission of the organization. Oftentimes, some very steep fees are paid. One of the advantages of going through a recruitment agency are many. Let me just talk about a few of them. I mentioned to you that sometimes working with a recruiting agency, the fees are steep. The fees can be paid by the company that has hired a recruiting agency, or in some cases you have some recruiting companies known as Robert Half. That is one such recruiting company, among others, that take their fees directly from the applicants themselves. In exchange, what they do is they will refer the applicant directly to companies that are hiring specifically for that skill set. So, for example, if one has a background or is qualified in accounting or is qualified in engineering or one is qualified as a pharmacist, the recruiting company has been given the specific specifications that they are to recruit for, an individual who has 8 to 10 years of experience working in a large accounting firm with a background specifically working for nonprofit, for example. They are recruiting for that agency, so the agency does not have to be concerned with that. And then they refer a list of eligible candidates to the particular agency that is looking for such a candidate. And then the agency will then make a determination. They will proceed to interview the candidates as they normally would, candidates coming in off of the streets or sending resumes in. They will interview candidates and then proceed to make a hiring decision. Let me conclude on this point by saying this, that in some cases it is in your interest to reach out to a recruiting firm. Why? Because you reduce the distance between yourself and the job opportunity. You reduce the distance because the recruiting firm has already been paid a retainer to refer qualified candidates. Look for those firms that guarantee that they will refer you to a candidate. However, while they guarantee they will refer you to a candidate, does not mean that there is a guarantee that you will be hired. But given the number of applications for the same positions, one is able to more readily ensure that their resume and their professional information will be seen and considered if they go through a recruiting firm. I hope that information is helpful.
Great. Thank you. And also, let me see. Let me go to the phones, Brian. Let me see if I can pick up a caller. Extension 4681. Extension 4681. Hello? Okay, they could just be holding in queue. Let me go to another line. Extension 8418. 8418. Hello. Extension 8418. Okay. Perhaps they are also listening online or listening via phone, and which that's perfectly fine, guys, if you want to just listen in, and then I'll go back and check later if you have any other comments. Extension 2264. 2264. Hello? Okay. All right. Okay. It seems like we have some listeners just kind of listening in information. I know that was the case for a few of our listeners on last week, and that is perfectly fine. If you are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? We have HR expert back on with us this week, Brian Chapman, and we will be back in just a moment.
What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show is sponsored by Pages Etiquette Seminars, LLC. Pages Etiquette Seminars provides both personal and professional development training for all ages and offers motivational and training materials such as What is Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. This book covers introductions, writing thank yous, table and telephone manners, and much more. In addition, the book What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key ingredients for building successful working relationships. Some of its contents include how to master the art of networking, business over lunch, and how to impress your interviewer, only to name a few. Pages Etiquette Seminars, that's www.pagesetiquette.com, www.pagesetiquette.com. Do you need repairs made around your home, but you hesitate to book a contractor because of a bad past experience? Well, worry no more. 7-Day Contractors will put your mind at ease. They install decks, hardwood floors, kitchen cabinets. They do plumbing, painting, roofing, electrical work, and more. They are licensed, bonded, insured, and all work is guaranteed. No project is too big or small. 7-Day Contractors can handle them all. To schedule your free estimate, call 678-663-6817. 678-663-6817. 7-Day Contractors.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Call us now at area code 347-324-3295. That's 347-324-3295. Or email us your comments at etiquetteladies, ladies plural, at gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies at gmail.com.
Okay, we are back. Again, we are speaking with human resource expert Brian Chapman. I have an email here. It says, Dear Etiquette Ladies, I really enjoyed the advice your guest gave on the last show. In fact, on the last show, he talked about volunteer work. Should it be in a field you are trying to go into, or does it really matter? And this comes from Sarah James in Los Angeles.
Fantastic. If Sarah is listening, certainly the objective is to relate your volunteer work, any specific outcomes that you were responsible for implementing. If you, for example, were responsible for implementing a benefits program, a new computer system, if, in fact, you had administrative oversight for handling coordination of volunteers, if you may have assisted with a fundraising campaign through the United Way, All of these kinds of things show your leadership. They show leadership, and they also have the effect of getting you noticed with respect to specific skills that you want to highlight and illuminate for the job to which you're applying for. So certainly you are looking to relate related and relevant experience. And so that means that volunteer work that you may engage in, let it be used to your advantage. In addition to that, let me just reiterate as well that it also shows that perhaps if you're in between jobs, it shows that you have, it shows initiative, shows what you're trying to do to stay current in terms of utilization of your skill set. If you are a volunteer while you are currently employed, it does more in terms of reflecting favorably upon the applicant and the candidate, because it shows that you are one who is able to manage multiple priorities and going the extra mile. So, yes, volunteer work is not to be underestimated or overemphasized. It's very, very important.
Great. Thank you for that. Here is a question that says, how can I make my resume and cover letter stand out when I don't have much experience? This comes from John Duggar in New Jersey.
To John, John asked a very, very important question. There are a variety of resume formats and a variety of resume styles, which time does not allow us to touch on each one. So what I'd like to recommend to John are two things. First of all, John would like for you to go to your workforce development office, a fancy term for the unemployment office, where they have numerous and multiple resources available on writing in as many as up to 50 different types of resume structures and formats, depending upon the nature of your experience, whether it's administrative, clerical, technical, or managerial. There are a variety of formats. I will share with you one of the most important pieces, however, that a hiring manager or recruiter is looking for. They are looking for resumes that reflect proper spelling, that reflect certainly good grammatical usage, and a very clear articulation of your work experience. So please do not be overly concerned. Don't be overly concerned with the structure in as much as it is. I would recommend that you get yourself a coach, or an employment specialist, which are made available through the various employment agencies, which are designed to assist you at no cost in helping you to write a resume. I think that would be the shortest distance between the two points that will provide you with immediate feedback, as well as the ability to put into words the experience that you do have.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, Brian, on the last show, there was a question posed in regards to exactly how long should your resume be, and I'm sure that there are some listeners out there who are wondering about that, if they think it may be too long because they have so much experience, or perhaps they think it may be not long enough because they are inexperienced. But can you address that?
Absolutely, Don, and thanks for having mentioned that important point. And again, the response is this. First, the objective and one's priority should be to relate any and all experience to the specific position to which you are applying to. One of the things that we covered was tailoring your resume to the specific position that you're applying for. You don't want to send out just standard resumes and just change the job title. You stand a much better chance of becoming noticed when you take the time to relate your specific experience to the job to which you're applying for, particularly with the advent of so many automated evaluation systems, Resimix, PeopleSoft, among others that perform preliminary eligibility cuts on applicants using terms and buzzwords that the computer system has been programmed to recognize. All right, so that's the first thing that we want to encourage. You need to tailor your resume, meaning your experience. All of the experience that you may have may not necessarily be specific to that accounting position that you're applying to, particularly one in nonprofit. Okay, while you're dealing with a variety of concepts in accounting, a variety of different types of accounting subjects that one may have taken, intermediate accounting, cost accounting, manufacturing, auditing. The important piece here is to relate the experience to the job. I would recommend not exceeding 2 pages if you find yourself moving the content along and you have more than two pages, probably a good idea to try and cut it off. But generally speaking, most individuals are able to get a very well-rounded resume within the 1.5 to 2 pages. If you have a one-page resume, that's great, again, with a very nice cover letter that has the effect of accentuating who you are and your strong interest in the company and how you believe that you could bring value to that company. In that cover letter has the effect of getting you noticed and putting you closer to job consideration.
And, Brian, I also remember that on the last show, there was, I don't remember if it was a caller or someone had sent us a message about whether or not that they could actually use a blanket, if you will, cover letter, or should it be specifically tailored to the company that they are applying with?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, there are benefits to be gained by tailoring and customizing certainly your cover letter to the position to which you're applying for. You need to tailor that cover letter, again, to the position that you're applying for. You need to take advantage of that opportunity to represent yourself. And, again, why you believe that you would be a contributor to XYZ company based on the nature of the position and the skill set that you represent, the number of years that you've worked in that particular area, the types of clientele or the types of population that you have worked with. If you're applying to a social work position, you need to make sure that you seize every opportunity to relate the job requirements and the qualifications that have been announced for that job. You use your cover letter to respond to those. You use your cover letter to relate how your previous experience will be a good fit and will allow and will allow you to contribute substantially to the needs of that company.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll receive some calls, a call or two from any of your listeners who may require any additional clarification related to a specific question that they may have in writing the cover letter. That's very important, and it gives you an opportunity to shine.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I'm going to go back to the phones. It may seem as though a lot of our listeners are listening really intently. They're probably taking notes. Let me try going back to extension 8418. Hello? Hello? Thanks for calling What Is Etiquette Anyway? Extension 8418. Okay, it seems that they may be listening or taking notes.
Sure, and that's fine, too. That's fine, too.
Yeah.
For some listeners, this can be we are finding more and more that the employment process is becoming more of a science, as you mentioned, as you alluded to. We're learning more and more that the typical or the standard job application process, just firing off a resume, just firing off a cover letter, it takes a little bit more than that now to become noticed. And sometimes some of the new information may have the effect of it may be new to some, and for others they may be building upon that while they're processing that. So hopefully we're providing some helpful information, tools, and tips.
Absolutely. I'm sure a lot of people are taking notes. Etiquette Lady, please ask your guest, what advice do you have for seniors going back into the workforce? And this comes from Miss Eve in Atlanta.
Well, Miss Eve in Atlanta, first of all, let me say congratulations and for your previous work contributions. Secondly, let me say that there is a special market out there for retired individuals. I say that because there are special attributes. Not only are your skills regarded highly, depending upon your professional attributes, but your character attributes are very highly regarded. Retired workers, in many cases, bring patience to the job. They bring a certain level of tolerance, and in many cases, they are considered to be employees who fit well within the work population. Because of their experience, their seasoning. And so let me just conclude by saying that there is a special place for those employers who may be looking for retired workers. The other thing that you should also do as well, you should apply to or make your, you should submit rather to the employment agencies in your area here at Indianapolis, Indiana, they refer to as Workforce One agencies, which assist workers who are out of work. They have, in many cases, they have visibility on companies that are specifically seeking retired workers. So perhaps if you haven't considered that step, you may want to consider that step as well. Okay. And I will share this with you. Let me share one other item as well. It is your prerogative as to whether or not you want to indicate that you are a retired employee in your cover letter. However, that information may be used in a discriminatory way against you for companies that may not be looking for an older worker. So I want you to keep that in mind, that while there are companies that are specifically looking for older workers, you need to make the determination as to whether or not you want to indicate that in your cover letter. So again, I'd recommend very strongly that you connect with the unemployment agency. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Donna, the employment agency is located in DeKalb County, if memory serves me correctly. They're in Atlanta, Georgia. So, but anyway, wherever it may be located, I'm certainly sure that you will find it, and these individuals will be more than happy to link your interest with such companies that have expressed an interest in hiring retired workers.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. And actually, most of the counties, they actually do have their own agencies.
Okay.
And so,
okay.
Just depending on whichever county that they are living
in.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Here's a question getting back to the resume. This comes from Cindy Myers in Snellville, Georgia. She has, which font and style is best to use for your resume?
Yeah, Cindy, you ask a very good question, and I'm trying to recollect immediately the source of the information, but the font you want to be there. Let me answer the question, then I want to follow back up with something. Your font generally recommended is Roman numeral, okay? As a font, Roman numeral is a font. You need to be careful with the bold facing and different font sizes. There are some application programs, depending upon the company, that will give you a warning or instruction that your font styles need to be the same in order for your resume to be accepted into their system. So my recommendation also based on some studies by employers through the Society for Human Resources Management, which I'm a member. This is where I'm relating this information to you from. Generally, Roman numeral is the preferred font, all in the same size. And while bold facing certainly does distinguish different parts of the resume, some companies do not prefer it. So again, there is not a hard and fast rule on that. Again, I think that most importantly is that your resume look presentable and that it look very neat. But do avoid using different font sizes. That's the other piece that I wanted to follow up on. Do avoid using a variety of font sizes.
Mm-hmm. And that's even when it comes to a variety of different jobs. I mean, I know I've seen them where if they're applying, say if they're in the arts field, okay, maybe applying to be a director of an art center or something like that, a lot of times, they're artsy. And they're more creative.
Sure.
But still to understand that, just kind of that particular font that you're talking about, it's just a conservative font, and it's a basic conservative font. So for those who may be thinking, well, but the job that I'm applying for is very creative, so, does that give me any, a room to go ahead and be a little more creative and maybe use a script or something of that nature.
Donna, you make a very, very good point. And again, with respect to the interview etiquette, in terms of what is appropriate and what is not, again, this is why I attempted to pretext my information by saying that there is not a hard and fast rule, but there are preferences that have been indicated by employers. However, to your very excellent point, if you are, in fact, applying, for example, for a commercial artist position or a graphic artist position, okay, those are just calls meaning judgments that the applicant or the candidate will have to make. If you believe that it's going to get you noticed and you have a fairly strong comfort level with your one's intuition with respect to moving forward with quote unquote a more creative but overall a very structured resume, then go for it. Mm-hmm. But the kind of resume that an employer is not interested in seeing is one that does not represent a level of consistency and structure.
And I would say as well, just coming from the etiquette point of view, I don't think I would submit a resume that's on, you know, pink paper or gold paper,
no,
or anything creative, mustard color, you know, to make it stand out.
Right.
So,
right. You made a very, very good point there. Usually salmon, which almost looks like a tan, is again on the standard and a very acceptable color type to use, and then of heavier cardstock.
Yeah, you want it to stand out, not be thrown out. How about that?
Okay. I like that.
So just kind of thinking conservative. And we talked a little bit about this during the last show about conservative dress, which is generally, you know, if you're going for an interview, it's darker colors. It's very common navy, black, brown, even though, you know, those colors to some may feel as though that those are really drab and boring and so on and so forth. But those are really the standard conservative type colors.
You can't go wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you simply cannot go wrong with them. And those are the colors that have otherwise been down through the times and ages have been considered the acceptable colors.
Great. Let's see. We have another question here. And what this says is, etiquette lady, please ask your guest what is his opinion on searching for jobs overseas. And obviously, this comes from John in St. Louis. Obviously, he must have listened to the show last week because, you know, part of your information that you have actually worked overseas. So if you can address that would be great. I mean, I know that there are so many people that are out there listening that have been searching for jobs for an extended period of time. And so perhaps overseas, you know, looking for employment overseas may be an option. Can you address that a little bit, Brian, if you would?
Let me supply John what information I have, and I'd like to give a special shout-out to John. Hopefully he is listening. St. Louis happens to be one of my favorite. That is at the top of one of my vacation spots at St. Louis, okay? You just can't go wrong there. Down at Laclede's Landing, all the jazz and blues. Love it, absolutely. That's an amazing place to be. John, to your question concerning what are also known as expatriates, you never go wrong with looking for work overseas. There are a number of things that need to be considered, which consider the length of the assignment. Other considerations include whether or not you can take family members with you, these kinds of considerations. Generally speaking, the pay or compensation is usually elevated because of the considered hardship or the inconvenience, leaving family and then shifting all the way usually 6,000 or 7,000 miles away into a different country. I strongly recommend it, not only for the contribution that you will make, but likewise for the level of experience that you will be able to and equity that you will be able to add to your professional experience. That being one of the reasons that those are very good opportunities. Additionally, from a cultural standpoint, they can be absolutely invaluable and tremendous experience, a lifetime experience, if you will. So yes, by all means, pursue those experiences, particularly if you are able to leave your family for a period of time. Usually, when you have those kinds of opportunities, they are very clear with respect to the experience and skills that they are seeking, and they're also usually very clear with respect to the arrangements, such as your medical records, background checks, whether or not you need to be well-versed in a second language, those kinds of pieces. But by all means, do seek them. I have enjoyed absolutely thoroughly my work overseas. It has primarily been in Korea. I have done some work in Japan, but those were just absolutely monumental experiences for me every single time. The culture, and another thing about working overseas, in the Asian community, you are very, very well received with respect to the different level of experience and the culture that you bring. Very, very well received. I hope that information is helpful to you.
Mm-hmm. And just to add, when you're prior to even going overseas, you certainly do want to study the cultural manners, because they're generally quite different than our culture here. So you want to make sure that you're very, very aware of whether you are to shake hands, whether you are to bow, or so on and so forth, because some of our cultural manners here may be offensive to depending on which country you are in. So you certainly want to research and do a little homework before you go over. Brian, we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and wrap it up.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Do you have children under 18? Do you rent or own your home? How much money do you have saved for retirement? How do you plan to support yourself when you retire? What would you and your family do if a loved one died without a will or insurance? If you are not sure, you need to consult with Bowden Financial Group. Larry E. Bowden has over 20 years' experience in the insurance and financial service industry. He holds a BS degree from Morris Brown College in Business Administration and maintains a Georgia State Insurance license. He is a chartered senior financial planner and is the owner of Bowden Financial Group. Based on 100 average Americans, upon retirement age, 1% will be well-to-do, 3% will have no estate and will have to keep working, 4% will have income, 92% will be dependent or dead broke. Let Bowden Financial Group be your financial planner. After all, he has assisted thousands of individuals and small businesses over the years. Bowden Financial Group, 770-981-6024. Once again, 770-981-6024. Call now, Bowden Financial Group.
Okay, and we're back again. I'd like to say thank you so much, Brian, for spending a couple of shows with us. You've given such great information to our listeners, and listeners, certainly feel free to contact us, give us some feedback on this helpful information, and we certainly do appreciate it. Of course, each and every week we ask you to initiate a random act of kindness, just want to and to share them with us. So I want to read one.
Now it's time for Random Acts of Kindness.
Okay, and on this week's Act of Kindness, it says, "Dear Etiquette Lady, my family and I listen to your show every week, and we try to outdo each other by doing something polite and kind for others. When we went shopping one day, my 8-year-old son held the door for at least 4 or 5 people walking in behind us. I told him I was proud of him, and that was really a polite act of kindness. He said the lady on the show that we listened to said to do an act of kindness this week, so I did. Thanks for your show. It's making a difference in our life and family." And this comes from Mary Maynard from South Carolina, and she says her son's name is Devante. Devante, we applaud you. Thank you so much. And we are certainly attempting to make a difference one person at a time. Again, everyone, thank you so much for supporting our show and listening. For those of you that sent messages to us, if you're joining us for the first time, again, thank you so much. And we certainly do appreciate our loyal listeners who tune in every week. Remember, if you have a question or a topic that you would like to hear discussed, please let us know. We'll do what we can to make sure that we can cover that for you. Be sure to tell your friends about our show and invite them to listen as well. And as I say each week, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3 and 3. Again, initiate a random act of kindness. Thanks again for tuning in. We will talk again next week. Certainly looking forward. Have a blessed week. Good night, take care, and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.